they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
And salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod is War. Getting off to a bit of a sinister start this weekend. Jesus Christ, I feel like I should be staring in the mirror saying red rum five times while I summons a Hail Mary or Bloody Mary. You know what I mean? What the hell's going on here?
I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Anywho, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, again, Pod is War. We are brought to you by the good people at ChairShot Radio Network and sponsored by thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys know me. I'm the main event. I'm the icon. I am this, that, and the third. I am me, myself, and I. I am all of the above. It is your man, Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. But I'd be remiss if I did not bring up my co-driver in this particular situation. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and show your love for Mr. Andrew. Don't call me Snowflake Balls Blouse.
You just got to find a different way to throw that in there, don't you?
Yes, I do. That's kind of my thing.
Well, at least you know what? You were vibing to a New Japan song, which is it's nice because you normally talk shit about like the 14 guys and their body pillow and their favorite Sailor Moon character are the only one watching this shit. And here you are bobbing your head and getting down with the G.O.D. I loved it. It was good. Guerrilla tactics, motherfucker. It's time for warfare.
I wasn't bobbing my head, man. I think I was low-key possessed. Like, my head started, like, turning like the Exorcist. That's what was happening.
No, low-key's a different guy. He just wrestled for Impact. You got to keep the shit straight.
Hey! About to split up some split pea soup in this melon farmer, man. Jeez Louise. Always, ladies and gentlemen, still here trying to navigate these waters, mainly because we couldn't find anybody else. Mr. The Commission himself, Mr. PC Tunney.
Everything you've said is true.
Thank you, Mr. The King of Monotone there. Or, no, what do you call yourself? The King of Content.
I'll have a Bloody Mary.
He's not bringing it back.
For nothing, folks. Anyway, Andrew, I'm pumped up this week, man. Actually, I'm a little pissy. I'm not going to lie. How you feeling, man?
When are you not pissy, buddy?
When I'm sleeping.
That's fair. That's probably the only time you're quiet, too.
I talk in my sleep from time to time, and I snore, so there's that. You can't shut me up for anything.
Jesus Christ, I feel bad for your girl, man.
So do I. Anyway, PC Tunney, let's go ahead and kick off these festivities, man. Get the proceedings proceeding this evening. What you got on deck, Chef?
Here we go. Pod is War. The Royal Rumble. First ever women's Rumble. Possibly one of the better men's Rumbles in a long time. Your overall thoughts as we kick off 2018.
Well, pound for pound, man, I think that the Royal Rumble is, every year, it's the most entertaining experience in professional wrestling. Obviously, WrestleMania, that's the sizzle, that's the steak, that's the Super Bowl that deserves all the accolades it receives. But I love the Royal Rumble, just everything, the spectacle that goes along with it, and the fact that it kicks off the road to WrestleMania, which is great because any true wrestling fan's favorite pastime is fantasy booking. And with this time of year, the possibilities are endless, man. This is when I kind of go dark and stop reading all the dirt sheets and all the wrestling websites, except for thechairshot.com. Make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Always use your head. But I just want to be surprised, and I just want to get on and buckle up and go along for the ride. This Rumble, again, man, at that point, I thought it was awesome, man. The opening match, AJ versus, what do they call him, Cammy? It was cool. It was cool for what it was. Brock and Kane and Braun, they put on a decent match. Braun stiffed the shit out of Braun. Did you see that?
That was awesome. Slow the fuck down. My Boom.
Oh, my God. I guess in the business, they would call that a receipt from that knee, huh? So we had two guys working the main event with actual concussions and a demon that banged somebody's brains out. So go figure. WWE, right?
I like the Katie Vick reference. That was nice, man.
Thank you, man. I do have my moments, man. They don't call me the main event for nothing. But it was cool, man. And even the men's Rumble, man, on my first viewing, I didn't really dig it that much. But on second thought, and as the more I recollect about it, I actually enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was really good. There weren't a lot of surprises, but I thought it told a good story. And at the end of the day, the right guy won.
I can't disagree with that one.
No, you can. Why would you, man? Everything I say is gold. Every thought that comes out of my mouth is a jewel, Andrew.
Yeah, but some are, you know, fake gems, that shit that gets sold down at the corner.
Still making money, baby. Still making money.
You make your point.
Touche. But what did you think about the overall Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
The overall pay-per-view was... it was all right. Like... the Rumbles were the most entertaining part to me. Everything else kind of was just there. Like, I wasn't too hypey for it. Like, AJ Styles and Cammy, that was a pretty solid match. I wasn't upset with that. And I definitely like the fact that Shane McMahon didn't seem to give a fuck when they came back to complain to him. And he's just like, yep, and walks off. Like, that was nice to see that he's still a spiteful little vindictive piece of shit. And, you know, they're still whiny. So that's really good. The Raw tags, though, that lost so much momentum because it came on the heels of the Men's Rumble, which was pretty solid, and he had two good returns with Hurricane and Mysterio still looked fucking fantastic.
He looked awesome, didn't he? Yeah. He looked amazing.
And he had a lot more ink than I remember him having, too, so that was something. But either way, it was a good show, and... I know that you were a little salty to not see the Rumbles rated higher on some of the articles I wrote for thechairshot.com, but there's a reason for that one. Is that the way I see it is they're mostly an entertainment spectacle, an event. It's not so much a wrestling match as it is just something to sit back, enjoy when legends come back or when you see people like, you know, Adam Cole or Andrade Cien Almas, he gets called up, and that was a beautiful call up right there, I guess. Well, not call up, but a nice way to just throw him into the event, because he lasted a decent amount of time. You're showing that your farm brand, whatever you want to really refer to NXT as, their champion is not only coming off probably the best match in WWE history.
Oh, jeez Louise, come on, man, stop with
the extra. I'm going to use the hyperbole right there. I'm going to say it. And then he comes off after a grueling match and puts in like 20 to 30 minutes in the Rumble. It's your brand and your lowest brand's champion. So
that should be a thing, though. Don't you think that every year the NXT champion should make an appearance in the Rumble? I thought that was a nice touch, too. So I got to agree with you on that. Sunshine's on a dog's ass every now and again, and you got one right. So there you go.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. But yeah, I agree that if the NXT champ, you should get a spot in there, because there's going to be that one year when he wins it. And then wouldn't that be some shit to see the NXT champ and the Universal champ or WWE heavyweight champ headline WrestleMania? That would be awesome. That would be a great way to get the brand over, and a great way to get that guy over, like Rover. Like, it would be fucking fantastic. But either way, it was an entertaining show. And there's one thing we definitely didn't touch on yet, and that is the Women's Rumble. What did you think about that, Mr. Platt?
Well, Mr. Balls, the reason we didn't touch on that is because I wanted to save the best for last. I know we kind of went back and forth in the Twitter feed and on email as well prior to recording this. I thought that the women's match was the best match of the weekend. With all due respect to Sionis and Johnny Wrestling, man, they put on a hell of a show. It was one of the better matches that I've seen in WWE all year. As it stands right now, this is weird because I'm about to contradict myself, but as it stands right now, that's my match of the year. But I just thought that the Women's Rumble, number one, they put it on last. It was the main event. It was the first ever. So it has historical context to the event as well, or as you would call it. And it delivered everything that a Rumble match is supposed to deliver, man. I mean, it had surprise entrances. The spectacle of it. It had, planted seeds for future storylines. We kind of had the seeds planted for Sasha Banks' heel turn, which I feel like is sorely needed, and her eventual feud with Bayley. We had the showdown with Trish and Sasha, which was awesome. They had a couple of callbacks there. The Trish Stratus and Mickey James squaring off in the ring. That was great, man. That might have been my favorite moment of the entire weekend right there. And I just thought they told a great story in the match, and I understand why they put it on last. And most people are going to say, oh, because it was the first women's. But it was also better booked, and it told a better story, and it did everything that a Royal Rumble is supposed to do. And the right person won in the end.
Agreed. This match has exceeded the social constructs, the social dichotomy that we have right now, where you might think that WWE was just pandering to the feminists and the Twitter people with all their, pro women kind of movement and all that buzz that has started up. But what the Women's Rumble had to offer far exceeded what the men's had to offer in terms of legends coming back, in terms of storytelling. Like, who from the past would you really care to see come back for the men's? Like, does anybody want to see, like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan again? Or it was in Philly, so okay, maybe Sabu would have gotten a pop, or Sandman, but nobody from a little earlier than the Attitude Era would have really looked as good as all of the women from when we got it back. Like, Stacey Keibler.
I got to stop you there, because some of those women, and God bless them, man, but some of them didn't look that good if we're talking strictly aesthetically. There was a lot of plastic faces in that ring, okay, man. I'm not saying
aesthetically. Aesthetically, they might have been a little plasticier there, but everybody except really Trish.
Is that a word?
Aesthetically, it is.
No, I'm talking about plasticker.
Why not? Let's just make it a word. You know, somebody had to invent a fucking word to put it in the dictionary anyway, so Merriam-Webster can't be the only one to just make shit up. Let's try it. But anyway, so like Trish was the only one who aesthetically didn't look as great, because her body was great, her movements, her wrestling was still on point. She wasn't that rusty, but her face looked a little Crypt Keeper-ish, and it was a little fucking scary. I'm not going to lie there. But
she looked like Florence Henderson, man.
Okay, you're right. Got a point.
She looked like old school or late in life Carol Brady. R.I.P. Florence Henderson, by the way. No disrespect, but she looked like late in life Carol Brady, man.
I'm not arguing that point, but you had people like Stacey Keibler who looked better than she did in her first run. Like, she was fucking gorgeous. The girl still can't wrestle to save her life, but she looked fantastic. Kelly.
Stacey Keibler was in the Rumble?
Tori Wilson.
Oh, Tori Wilson. Okay.
Right church, wrong pew, wrong blonde. Sorry about that one. But, and then you had Kelly, who's like, who was, what, 19 when she was in ECW?
Well, that's why. She's probably, like, 26 right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So she was fine. Beth Phoenix still looked great.
Oh, yeah.
My only complaint, if there was going to be a complaint about the Women's Rumble, is the fact that they had the legends knock so many people out. Like, there was a point when they were hyping up Michelle McCool. Like, she was, like, the best thing from her era. And I'm pretty sure she had 5 or 6 eliminations, which was, like, the most in the Rumble. So I think that's a little odd that you have a legend eliminating so many people, but it didn't hurt the main girls.
But you got to think about the politics of that, too. You know who McCool is. She's Mrs. Undertaker. So I'm sure there was some politics involved in that as well.
And you noticed all those crosses on her gear now, right?
Which was cool. They're paying homage to the hubby. I like it.
But still, like, they made it overly obvious. All right, relax. We're gushing a little bit. It's fine. Anyway, just to not disregard her, Molly Holly looked like a million fucking bucks.
What do you think? Shout out to Molly. She did. Between Molly and Trish, that sounded like a club drug or something. But between Molly and Trish, man, they could go and hang with the new division of women right now in the ring and put on some great matches, man. So shout out to all of them. Shout out to all the women, man. Everybody worked hard, and they deserve all the props they get in the world, man. So my hats goes off to the women. It was an excellent event. I sat up here and watched it with my lady. We were all popping. there's nothing more I can say about it, man. I could sit here and talk about it forever, man. It exceeded my wildest expectations, and I can't wait for him to do it again, even though they'll probably screw it up.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to beat that one. All right, it's in the sky. You wanted us to shut up. So what's your next topic, Mr. Gavel?
Ronda Rousey's debut. Bringing credibility or awkwardness?
Can I just answer yes to that one?
Good answer. Good answer. Good. It's like Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. Survey says.
Bang. Number 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, fucking A. Yeah. Oh, there we go. But yes, it was awkward as shit because she said nothing. She looked uncomfortable. All she did was stand there and point in her Roddy Piper jacket and her Rowdy Ronda like shirt or whatever the heck it said, and nothing was really done. So that was awkward as shit. She just pointed at a sign like 4 times, walked off, pointed again, and then there was like an interview and a bunch of pictures taken. But there's a big but on this one, and I'm not talking Naomi. I'm talking, like an asterisk.
I did it for The Rock.
I did this
for The Rock. I did this for you. Shut your mouth, you thong-wearing fatty.
Oh, so you were talking about Naomi's father-in-law. My bad. Now, yeah, I should have let you keep going. My bad, bro.
For The Rock, and I did it for the money. Because that's all you get Ronda for. Like, Ronda brings immediate credibility to a match to the division because she is a proven commodity. So she's MMA, she cross-branded. Like, if it wasn't for Ronda, it wouldn't have been on CBS, NBC, SportsCenter, all this other stuff. Nobody would have given a shit about Asuka because nobody in the States really knows who the hell Asuka is. So Ronda brought a lot of extra eyeballs to the product. Ronda's also really good for business because she's Ronda fucking Rousey. And if anything could have been changed, yes, I realize it's probably work on Twitter with Nia Jax and a couple others saying that Ronda Rousey, you know, gets to demean everybody's work with 30 women doing their stuff, and then she comes in and points at a sign and she gets a match. But there's a little bit of credibility to that one. A little bit.
Hey, but that was a little bit of game too, man. That was a little bit of kayfabe right there because everybody was saying the same thing. So I'm kind of thinking they have the kudos or the red light or the green light rather from WWE to go ahead and make those statements. So I think that's part of the storyline surrounding Ronda Rousey. By the way, man, I keep seeing you putting this hooch to your lips, man. Is that a pocket pint of Hennessy?
It is not. It is a Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey. It is fucking delicious. If you've never tried it, it has a little bit of a sweet bite to it, but it goes down smooth as butter. It's amazing.
Well, shout out to Jack Daniels. And since it is February, which is Black History Month, man, little known fact, did you know that Jack Daniels was actually invented by a black man?
Well, more props to him, because Jesus, that's a genius man right there.
He was one of Jack's slaves, and, you know, he taught him how to distill and everything. And then, of course, you know, whatever your slaves came up with, that was yours. But, yeah, man, so shout out to him. I can't think of the guy's name. It's weird now. Maybe the commish can pull up his name for us. But, yeah, I just had to throw that out there for Black History Month. So, and Booker T. So there we go. Got it out the way, man. Got it out the way early. But, you know, it's funny that you brought up that jacket because I was surely going to make a joke about Braun allowed Ronda to wear his jacket when he came out to the ring because it seemed like a 5X. But you said the Roddy Piper jacket. Andrew, I wouldn't be surprised if that was literally Roddy Piper's jacket because, you know, the legend goes is that he actually gave Ronda, he bequeathed that nickname to Ronda. She went to him and asked and he said it was okay. So that might actually have been his jacket.
It was because the story I've seen is that in his will, he gave her the jacket. So that is actually Piper's jacket that Ronda came out in.
Well, that would have been cool if they would have said that on the announce table to add a little brevity to the situation.
You're expecting the announce team to actually be useful? Like, Coach just started Monday. Like, let's relax here. Coach is going to bring some credibility to this crew, not the rest of those idiots.
Hey, man, you leave Booker T out of this, man. I love five time.
Shucky ducky quack quack, motherfucker. Now, come on, get to your point. Come on.
Anywho, before I was so rudely interrupted, I got to agree with Snowflake Balls on this one, man. Yeah, obviously, it adds credibility. There's a obvious crossover because Rousey's fans were the wrestling fans. Like, that was her fan base, and they go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over her, man. Basically, they go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over any halfway attractive woman that does fighting. Like, that's just what this is. It is what it is. But she does add credibility. It was hella awkward. I don't buy into the fact of her taking away from the Women's Rumble. I don't think that's what it was. I thought it brought more eyeballs to the product overall, which is a good thing, which is a very good thing. So I don't think it took eyeballs away. And we just gushed over how great that Rumble was. And it just main evented a major pay-per-view. But yeah, her appearance was very awkward. Maybe they don't know what they're going to do with her yet, because, you know, she kind of pointed to the thing and she just didn't look comfortable in the ring. And my question is, obviously, this is the business decision. Like, you can't question that at all. If you do, you need to put down the pipe. Matter of fact, bury it, okay? And then kill yourself. But my question is she going to be able to translate to professional wrestling, man? Because there's been plenty of guys and plenty of people that we thought would be perfect fits for wrestling, and it just didn't work out. Off the top of my head, I think Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson in TNA. Like, you couldn't tell me Rampage wasn't a natural for professional wrestling. But once they got out there, there was a disconnect, and it just didn't work. So that's kind of my trepidation coming out of the Royal Rumble, man, is I'm thinking, well, I don't know if she's going to be able to do this.
Yeah, I think she'll be more Ken Shamrock and less Dan Severn.
Nearest Green, thank you. That is the gentleman's name that invented Jack Daniel. Shout out to Nearest Green, man. And Jack, y'all need to make that right with the Green family, man. But I digress. Please, Balls, go ahead.
No, I said my point that I think she'll be more Ken Shamrock than Dan Severn. What do you think?
Well, I hope not, or I hope so, rather. They're going to put her in that Dan Severin looking like Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura wig and black mustache. That's kind of a weird look.
You don't want to see Ronda in a Lion's Den match?
Versus who? Actual Lion? Yeah, I'll pay for that.
Sonya Deville, or Shayna Baszler.
That's who I feel the worst for is Sonya Deville, because Ronda just kind of comes in and takes her entire gimmick. So what is she going to do now? Is she going to give you Fandango's new dance partner or something?
Oh, that's like a death knell right there. Oh,
yeah, pit bull in a skirt, huh?
Hey, you know, Sonya's kind of cute when she has her hair down. When she puts her hair up is when she looks a little rough.
You keep on kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
You love that clip, man. What is it with you and fat girls?
And Mitch? She's not fat. She's in shape. Like, she's kind of too thin. You'll fight him? All right, Connor, you'll fight him.
I'm with you, man. I like.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
no. Excuse me for just one second, Drew. Don't you ever, and I mean ever, cut me off again mid-sentence. Do you understand me? Don't ever cut me off in mid-sentence. Do I make myself clear?
Sure, why not?
Not you. You can cut me off whenever. I'm talking about PC. Not you, man. That's the show. But go on, please.
No, I was just going to say, like, Ember Moon is that type of aesthetic that I prefer right there.
Ah, nice. Well played. She can lose the contacts, but yeah.
Ah, the contacts make it a little sexier. You know, the eyes glow in the dark makes things a lot more fun.
All right, so let's say Triple H, Hunter, and Vince McMahon give you the... I was coming to that. Damn it. Okay. Anywho, let's say they give you the pin, man. Asuka, Charlotte, Alexa Bliss... Anybody, we'll give you free reign of the entire women's roster and NXT, man. Who do you want to see Ronda Rousey face?
Charlotte. It's got the best story with the four horsewomen thing and all of everything that can kind of coalesce from it. You could bring Ronda's four horsewomen, Charlotte's four horsewomen can get on the same page, and you could work months and months of storyline into reestablishing Bayley as somebody with credibility, because she's going up against these MMA women and these women who are actually known to be able to hold themselves in a ring, and giving her the Charlotte rub and the Sasha rub. Like, that would be nice. Plus, it would also give Becky an actual win, or like, Give a dog a bone. Like, Becky gets shit on constantly. I'm kind of getting sick of seeing her as being like the stepping stool of the women's division. So it would be nice to see something happen there. So Charlotte's my pick. What about you?
So first off, one of the rumors that's out there is that they're going to do a mixed tag with Hunter and Stephanie and Ronda, and they're trying to get The Rock. So stay tuned. That's just kind of out in the ether. I don't know if that's going to happen. I doubt it, but stay tuned.
I hope.
I like the Charlotte pick, man. It's too early for Asuka because they're both killers. You can't have two killers out there. I like the Charlotte pick. Personally, I'd like to see her do a – it's not going to happen because the money is in her first match. But I'd like to see her maybe do a warm match with somebody like Natalya, a real pros pro that can basically show her how to work. I'd like to see that, to see what she has. And then maybe Natalya could be their litmus test. And then she can go back to the office and say, well, she's ready or no. Maybe I need to figure something out or do a mixed tag or whatever it is you got to do. But I do like – I think the obvious money feud is Charlotte. And then Asuka go unless if you want to do Asuka and Charlotte, that would be the better match. And then you can just have Ronda go kill Alexa Bliss in a squash match, get the title, and then she's off and running. But I don't know. Stay tuned, man. We'll see what's up. Anyway, the eye in the sky is telling me it's time to move on. So, Mr. Tunney, what else do you have, sir? Get it together. See what I mean? Get it together, man. See what I mean?
I can't new beginning? Conditions, man. Beginning of the end for the Bullet Club?
All right, man. Way to give us a description there, man. Way to readily add context to the conversation, man. Wow. You're about as useful as an eyeball on your asshole, man. You still can't see shit. Anywho, I'm going to acquiesce to my tag team partner here, man, because, you know, he's the New Japan expert in this particular situation. But I do know that the new it looks like the Bullet Club is imploding, and then they've got that weird thing going on with Kenny and Kota Ibushi. Looks like they're about to continue their romance, which I can't be but so mad to Kenny on that, because Kota is a beautiful man. He's very dainty. He's very princess. He's very prince-like in that way. He's very dainty. I don't really want to stare in his eyes. They might arouse some feelings that I've been trying to suppress. I don't know. But at this point, man, I kind of feel like the Bullet Club has kind of run its course, and I think it's best to everybody to just sever ties. I was shocked that Kenny lost the U.S. title, man. I want to get your thoughts on that here in a second. But yeah, as a matter of fact, what are your thoughts on that, man? What do you think about him losing the U.S. title? I really thought that he was starting to build credibility with the title and then to take it off him. What you think about that?
You needed to build credibility with Jay White because he debuts trying to take out Tanahashi, and Tanahashi, with one leg and half an arm, beats the shit out of him. Granted, it was a grueling match, but you know what I mean. Like, yep. This isn't even 80% Tanahashi still beat him. So, when the former ace, the guy that's claiming to himself to be a wrestling god or the best wrestler on the planet, like, that's a rub within itself that he beats Omega. And it was kind of a surprising victory because he just slipped down and put him in the Blade Runner after, like, by countering a one-wing angel. So it's not like it was super clean. It had that quick effect that you would want for a rising star, somebody that you're trying to build, because it wasn't a dominant victory by any means. Kenny dominated him most of that match. And Jay just happened to do enough at the right time to get the victory. So it establishes him as somewhat legitimate, and Kota and Kenny, and like it's beautiful because as soon as Kota came back to New Japan under his name instead of under the Tiger Mask W mantle, everybody wanted to see Kota versus Kenny because they wanted that Golden Lovers match that we haven't seen in the last 5 years since they were a thing in DDT, and then they broke up when Kota came to New Japan, and then it just hasn't. The stars have never aligned. So everybody wants that, but it's so much smarter money to put them back together because Kota gets cheered. I mean, not Kota. Kenny gets cheered like a face anyway, even though he's supposed to be the leader of one of the biggest heel factions. And it makes so much sense to finally break him away and then give him the face run because the fans already love him anyway. And he's bilingual, so he can feed right into them and pander them by speaking in Japanese and then popping something off in English. And the biggest thing to chew on here was if you watch Being the Elite, the last episode, you saw Kenny walk up to a door. The door opens. Kota Ibushi slides in next to him. And then as they walk in, it's revealed to be the Young Bucks. So the Young Bucks maybe leaving the Bullet Club with Kenny and Kota, and the Tongans, Bad Luck Fale, Tongaloa, Tama Tonga, Leo Tonga, they don't really respect Cody, so it seems like they have an issue with following him with Bullet Club. So there's a big amount of dissension, And if Cody's contract is as ROH centric as he made it seem last year when he signed that contract, maybe Cody is just going to bring a couple people to ROH and make Bullet Club a United States kind of stable, and it's going to dissipate in Japan, and then we'll finally get the Tongans getting their just dues, because Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Bad Luck Fale have put in so much work. I mean, hell, we use the Gorillas of Destiny song to enter in, and that's Tongaloa and Tama Tonga. Like, they've been busting their asses, and they've always been playing not even second banana. They've been like fourth and fifth banana on the fucking tree. Like, it's been sad for those guys. So it would be nice to finally see them get their comeuppance, so to speak.
Well, first and foremost, golden lovers. Isn't that what Trump did in Russia?
Wow. Well, it's better than a golden shower, what R. Kelly did.
Yeah, tomato, tomato, man. Actually, tomato, tomato. We're being real. Like, yeah. You're comparing oranges with oranges, bro. But yeah. Or you're comparing Trump oranges with Star orange Kelly is.
Number two, I think. On you.
Peace on you.
Number two, I think they'd make pretty babies, Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega. So they got that going for. That's number
hair
one.
And Asian features. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And you know, when them European noses, I can see that. But and number three, man, there comes a point in time in every group, whether it be at The Rock with The Nation, Triple H with DX, Phil Collins with Genesis, Michael Jackson with The Jacksons. There comes a point in time, man, where you have to break away from the group and go do your own thing and chart your own waters. And I think Omega, as you alluded to, is at that point right now. As far as the Bullet Club as a whole, I think it's better to leave right now. It's been kind of watered down for the last few years anyway. They've been kind of shoving guys in there that, you know, yeah, they've been kind of shoving guys in there, kind of like its predecessor. And I think it's kind of cool synergy too, seeing as how the Bullet Club is a shoot off of the NWO, seeing as how the NWO was a shoot off of an angle that ran in Japan. So that's kind of cool synergy. But yeah, quit while you're on top, man. I'm sure they're still going to sell all that merch at Hot Topic, so you'll be just fine. I actually saw a dude with a Bullet Club shirt about a week ago, man. I walked by him and gave him the two sweet slime, man. It was a moment. I enjoyed it.
Hey, I was surrounded by it at that Royal Rumble party I went to. Three of my buddies came in with a American Nightmare shirt, a Cody Rhodes shirt, a regular Bullet Club shirt, and then a Villain Club shirt. And here I am sitting in like a Roddy Piper shirt that I got from Pro Wrestling Tees, just being like, wow, I feel like the least smarky motherfucker in this group. I feel good.
Nice. And shout out to that Mexican kid too, man. His parents didn't speak English. He barely spoke English, but the universal language of professional wrestling and the two sweet sign brought us all together, and that's a beautiful thing. That being said, yeah, I thought that was supposed to be the lead out, because I trailed off with my smooth R&B radio announcer voice. You know, that's a beautiful thing.
It was sexy. Cue.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go. That's a thing.
Jeremy Borash, is this better for WWE or just way worse for TNA?
Was this supposed to be the like anti-segue, because you were talking about your smooth, silky voice, and then we come into Jeremy Borash, who's like nails on a fucking chalkboard? I'd rather listen to Michael Cole and fucking Matt Stryker talk about golf than ever listen to Jeremy Borash again. But that's not the point.
Sir Michael Cole!
Get out of here!
That's a case in point. However, I'm fully aware Jeremy Borash has done more than announce, because he's only been the announcer for, like, what, the last 9 months? Maybe a year? And that was not something he was best suited for. And Jeremy Borash was basically TNA's Swiss Army knife. He could do anything and everything they asked him to do. He could write segments like The Broken Universe. He could be an agent for the guys. He would, you know, coordinate travel. He would do anything and everything. There's things that I can't even think of in a company that he's probably done.
Fluffer.
Exactly, a fluffer. he held the boom, you know, all that other shit. But either way,
Dixie Carter sat on his face.
Whoa.
Did I say that out loud?
According to Scott Hall, Dixie Carter sat on a lot of faces, just not his. So, you know, let's not go there for right now. That is a topic for another day, possibly another show, because we might get kicked off of this network if we talk about that.
Ladies, we love you. Nothing wrong with sitting on a face. Ladies, we love you.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, that's not the point. I'm done. I'm not going. I'm not feeding into that line of quick.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Come to the dark side.
No. Anyway.
Delete. Suddenly, I can't remember what we were talking about, man. So, what do you think about Jeremy Borash going to WWE?
So, I was getting to that before you're sitting on faces, fucking Rikishi. Anyway, so Borash going to WWE could be good for both brands. Borash has a lot of experience. The rumor is that he's going to NXT to kind of be Triple H's right-hand man and work under that in case Triple H gets called up after the XFL kind of hits. So Borash is a great behind-the-scenes guy. But for TNA, this could be the breath of fresh air that they need. Everybody says constantly that same old shit, just different name with TNA. So the more same names you get rid of, the better chance you have to make a more unique product than just the same old TNA shit. So now that Impact and Borash have parted ways, maybe Impact can turn it around without some of the similar flavor, similar feelings. I don't know who's going to replace Borash. I don't know if it's going to take multiple people. But you also have to think that Borash probably held a pretty high salary because he's been there for 15 years. And he had 4 or 5 years of WCW experience. So they could get a couple younger guys in there for a lot less money. And maybe still salvage that kind of concept of what he did.
You know, when we first decided to do this topic, I had come up with this long, intelligent soliloquy talking about how I could see Borash playing Kevin Dunn to Triple H's Vince McMahon if Vince is going full steam with the XFL, and how Vince is older and he can't do both, yada, 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 blah, say, blah, whatever, whatever. And then I listened to you and DeMarco talk about this, and it's like, well, they came up with it, so how smart could it have possibly been? But
thanks, buddy. I appreciate the vote of confidence right there.
I'm just hating, man, because you guys completely took the wind out of my sails. I'm just hating right now. I'm being a hater. I'm not going to lie to you. So, yeah, obviously, we know the benefits that he gives to WWE, man. He can do a little bit of everything. Eventually, he will become a part of Triple H. Or apparently, that's what's happening. He's going to become part of Triple H's regime. And when that transition does happen, he's going to be right there. Real smart on Triple H's part, getting a young guy. Because they need a little injection of youth in the proceedings over there at Titan Towers, man. And that's putting it kindly, if you will. As far as TNA, I don't know, man. I don't know what happens to TNA. It doesn't seem to matter what happens to TNA, man. People come, people go, people leave, people get fired, people get rehired, people get fired, rehired, hired, fired. They go and coming back. They go to Canada. They're going to be taping in Norway in a few months, man, at somebody's backyard igloo. They're going to do igloo match. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's gonna... Penguins and polar bears do good work, man. Have you ever had a Tim Hortons like jelly and a double-double on top of the igloo? It's good shit, man.
I have no idea what those words even mean put together like that. I don't know what you just said, man.
Our Canadian crowd will love what the fuck I just said. Thank you.
and our one black listener is looking like, man, I don't know what that's talking about, man. I feel you, bro. Thanks
then
for
drop,
listening.
So then rule. Drop watermelon and we're good.
I appreciate you listening, bro. Don't worry about it, man. We're not going to let Snowflake take this shit over, man. I know
the music is kind of
weird, but I'm here. Don't worry. Thank you for listening. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know what's going to kill TNA, man. They are the Jason Voorhees of professional wrestling, man. You can't kill him with a silver bullet. TNA, TWA, NSG, GWE, OPP, YMCA, OARP, HRID. I don't know what they're calling themselves this week, man, but they just keep hanging on. And it's a good thing, man, because it gives jobs to the wrestlers and ring crew and announcers and referees and all that good stuff. This is a major blow for them, however, but they've sustained major blows before, and they just take a licking and they keep on ticking. And, you know, the tick gets a little slower every time they take a hit, but they keep on ticking. So I have no reason to doubt that they're just going to keep plowing along, doing whatever it is that they do. But I think this is it's more of a big up for WWE than a hindrance to TNA, even though he did do everything. But TNA is going to figure something out.
Agreed there.
Look at that. It's TNA's theme song.
Yeah, OPP. But small question. What is young in your definition? Because Jeremy Borash is like 43 years old. Well, he's been in the business for like 20 years.
Vince McMahon is 275 years old, man.
I wasn't sure if you meant young in relation to like Triple H, where they're about the same age, or young in relation to Vince, where he's like, you know, a lot younger, like 30 years.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Vince knows Beyonce's a thing?
I mean, he's probably heard of a Beyonce. That's possible. Beyonce's been relevant for 20 years. There's no way that Vince missed it.
You just answered my question that when you said he's probably heard of a Beyonce.
Yes.
So that answers my question.
I mean, I'm aware that he's probably not the most hip to it, but come on, he's got grandkids. His kids aren't that old. Somebody had to play Destiny's Child CD for him at some point.
You really think so?
Maybe.
You really? Possibly. Come on, man. Think that through. Think it through.
Maybe. Probably not. Okay, you win.
I mean, you know, we're getting caught up in semantics, though, but you understand the point I'm trying to make, man. They clearly need a youth infusion. And I mean, if it takes two 50-year-olds to get in there and give WWE a youth infusion from the 70-year-old, so be it, man. There's just a lot of stuff that happens with the product and a lot of the storylines and character development and characters, period, that it's clearly outdated. And they could use somebody from the outside coming in to kind of give it a shot in the arm.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to look at Borash was also very integral in the Broken universe. So maybe he could actually add a layer to Hardy's Woken bullshit instead of him just giggling like an idiot. And then him and Bray doing stupid shit and eliminating each other by hugging each other over the rope. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. Like, that is the most disappointing.
I'd love that to be the case, man,
you
but I'm not holding.
Kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
What is it with you and the fat girls, man? I can't work under these conditions. You know what? I can't.
Hey,
you know what?
Hey, Roddy Piper said it best. Roddy Piper says it best. He likes them big, he likes them small. But it takes a real man to like them all. So obviously the voice in the sky is a real man. Even more of a real man than Silas Young. How about that one?
I love a Bloody Mary.
Good God, you need better jokes, bud.
How's this show ever going to work, man? We got flipping Sling Blade over here navigating our waters, man. We're pretty much heading right into the iceberg. Mm-hmm.
Everything you said is true.
French fried potatoes.
French fried
potatoes.
See what I
mean? Man, thank you for the three people that continue to watch, man. We appreciate it. We're number 10,025 with a bullet, though.
All right. Let us just have someone save us from the rabbit hole that we're falling down to. So how about the ambassador of the slapdicks, Mr. Roll Tide himself? Conrad Thompson might want to interject at this point.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard, and you're listening to the Chairshot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Always use your head.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate your hat. I hate your t-shirts, I hate your wristbands, I hate your shoes, I hate your music, I hate the C Nation, I hate everything that you stand for.
John Cena! Hustle!
Babagaru!
Loyalty! Respect?
Bust out like a pet for this?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. little Indian flute never hurt nobody.
Oh, God. So your boy is a topic, Mr. Platt. Mr. Hustle, Loyalty, Respect. You can't see me. I'm going to lay you down and punch you in the head after I, like, shake my hand in front of my face. So you want to lead this one off?
Sure. Number one, it's no more ridiculous than the people's elbow. The Rock has way much more charisma, and he's the Rock. That's fair, but it's no more ridiculous than that. But you know, I'm one of those guys, man. I did not like Cena for the longest, man. I really didn't. I thought that the white rapper thing, I thought that shtick was hella corny. It was cool when it first came out because it was different, and I thought that the WWE was, you know, kind of up with the times or with it. But it got corny and watered down. And then he started pandering to the troops. Then he started pandering to the kids. And then they just kept forcing him down our throats month after month, week after week, year after year, pay-per-view after pay-per-view. He was just Super Cena. No matter what happened, he was going to come out on top. Even when he took losses, he wasn't going to sell them. They were just going to bounce off him or roll off his back like water on a duck's back, and it meant nothing. He was corny, and he represented the decline of WWE television. I was on board with all of that. I couldn't stand him. I was the first one to say Cena sucks. I was right there with all of you. I thought it was the whole shtick was corny. But you know, a funny thing happened, man.
You hit your head?
Well, that happened a long time ago, man, and I've never recovered. But that has nothing to do with that. That's neither here nor there, man. Well, quit bringing up traumatic incidents from my childhood. What's wrong with you? You want to turn this into a therapy session?
It's always use your head. I think you'd figure out to wear a helmet by now.
Precisely. Anywho, and jokes on you, asshole. Had I used a helmet, I probably wouldn't have to use my head, eh? See, that didn't even make sense. You see what I'm saying? You got me all discombobulated, balls, man. What's wrong with you, man?
That was bad for you. Did you just ride in on the short bus? Is that why the helmet kind of is uncomfortable for you?
Then you didn't ride in on your mother. Give me a second, man. Let me take a swig of this Dos Equis and compose myself.
Dos Equis is good shit. Modelo is better, but Dos Equis is good.
Ah, Modelo gives me a headache.
Really?
Mexican piss water, man.
IPAs give me a headache. But anyway, continue with your Cena point.
And, you know, the strangest thing happened, man. The turn started coming during the Rock feud, man. Because he held his own with the Great One. Like, he went one-on-one with the Great One, and he held his own. You can't say that he didn't, man. He held his own.
Rock was rusty as shit at that point. Come on. That's I'm one-on-one with Hulk Hogan right now because he's 70 years old and half broken.
Well, that's true, man. All you got to do is kick that bastard in the hip, and you got him.
Just fuck his wife. That does the same thing.
Oh, Jesus. No, thank you. I want to fuck his daughter just because he said I couldn't. Just because it would piss him off. You know what I mean? I want to fuck his daughter. Yeah, I want to fuck his daughter to Real American. You know what I mean? I rip my t-shirt off.
Because that face is kind of rough. So I'm assuming she's at least one bag for you.
Or one pocket pint.
Oh, there we go. That works too. Beer goggles are a wonderful thing.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus. Yeah, it's got my beer goggles have gotten my dick wet quite a many nights. But that's
I'll be hugging babies and kissing fat girls thanks to beer goggles.
But continuing on this Cena journey, man, this dude, about what, 3 or 4 years ago, man, he took over the United States title and he had his U.S. Open Challenge. And week after week after week, this dude put on quality matches on WWE Raw. He basically went down to becoming a low card or a mid card workhorse trying to gain our respect. John Cena low key became the best indie worker in the business. Because even now, even his matches with JJ Styles, there's a real indie vibe to those matches. You can't deny it, man. You know, you can't deny that. And I respect him for that, man. And then the most damning thing was that I missed him when he's not around. Like, I miss him when he's gone. And when he comes back, I'm legitimately happy to see him. So looking through all of that, man, it made me re-examine his entire career, man. And when you think about it, there's certainly strikes against him. Yes, it was corny. Yes, he was the man during a downtime in business. You got to put some of that on him. He's got some culpability for that, but you can't put it all on him. There were extenuating circumstances that were beyond his control. He just happened to be the guy that was riding the ship because he was the right guy to be riding the ship. But this man can consistently put on great matches with everybody you can think of, man, from Edge to Jericho to Shawn Michaels to Triple H to Batista, Bobby Lashley. He hasn't fought Samoa Joe yet. Kevin Owens, him and Sami Zayn had a great one. He got the best match out of Damian Sandow's career. The Miz, like, it just goes on and on and on and on. He's just putting on great match after great match after great match. He's a great promo. He is a great role model for the children. If you look at the Cena storyline, man, He got a great match out of Hornswoggle. He got a seven-star Meltzer match out of Hornswoggle, baby, in the Tokyo Dome. They drew 68,000. One
drunk.
Person. No, but yeah, but I mean, this guy, and it's a really good message for kids, man, because this dude, for years and years and years, man, he's been hated. He's been booed. He's been booed out the building. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. The Cena sucks chants are always higher. And yet he just showed up to work. He did his job. He was the hardest working man in the industry. And he did everything he had to do to earn our respect. And John Cena, I salute you, brother, because you have earned mine.
I'll put it this way. Copa de Nieve, no me gusta John Cena, in the ring. All right. That's how that one works. Do I respect what he does? Yes, he's a great company man. He's got 9 billion
Make-A-Wish. That's a sneak diss though. Great company not, man. That's a sneak diss man. It's a sneak diss.
It's a backhanded compliment. I'll agree with you there. I know what a sneak diss means. I just said it white. Diss. Stop it. Relax. Okay, I got you. I feel you. I speak anyway. So
and now you're just patronizing our one bit. Black fan.
No. Un poquito. But anyway, so yes, it is a backhanded compliment. I get you there. But he is. He's been a great role model for kids. He's done all the Make-A-Wish stuff. Anything WWE has asked him to do, he's done with a smile on his face and a brightly colored shirt to just blind most retinas. So yes, that's what I meant by company man.
We don't all have to wear earth tones, Andrew. Some of us like to have a little color in our wardrobe.
He doesn't have enough color in his skin to pull off day glow attire. Like, this ain't 1985.
The jorts are a problem. I'll give you that. The jorts are a problem.
I'm expecting some of his shit to say, Frankie says relax, and I want his jorts to say Jenko. Just because, Jesus Christ, that man makes no sense with the way he dresses. But, not my point. Yeah, he's a sports fan. So I'm not bashing his fashion. What I am bashing
bash his fashion, which was that great though. That was cool. That went well.
I know it worked out well for you. And it worked nice, but still, I just don't like seeing him in the ring. He is one of the laziest workers. His STF looks like he's laying on somebody, and he puts his elbows around somebody's face and just lays there until they get to the ropes. It is a terrible STF. His finishing move is a fireman's carry drop. It's not fun to watch. Granted, yes, there's the elbow drop from People's Elbow from Rock. There's the leg drop from Hogan, which wasn't great. There was the Warrior Splash, which was terrible. I get it. There have been worse and weaker finishers in the history of wrestling, but not so much in the last 15 years. The finishers have at least looked slightly more impressive. Like, if you look at the two biggest guys from when, or let's even say three biggest guys from when Cena started, and that's Cena, Orton, Batista, the Batista bomb and the RKO look a lot better than the FU attitude adjustment, whatever you want to call it. So there's that. And that's my holding point. That's my linchpin where I can't get behind him. He's not that good on the mic, because all he does is run people down.
Oh, wow. He's not that good on the mic.
Run people down.
He's not that good on the mic.
Look at the Miz situation last year. Miz is one of the best people on the mic, but because Cena got the last word in, he made Miz look stupid a lot of the times. So purely because of his positioning and the way the promo goes back and forth, he runs people down, and he gets the last word in, and he looks better. His whole feud with Roman, when he got the last word in, he made Roman look retarded. But the couple times that Roman actually got the last word in, he was fine.
So you're telling me John Cena is horrible in the ring, and he can't talk on the mic?
I'm saying his talking is overrated. Like, he's fine. Okay. I get it. But the fact that he's supposed to be babyface, hustle, loyalty, respect, and he still wants to take the piss out of everybody and talk shit like the white rapper gimmick, that doesn't correlate well to me. Like, if you're supposed to be basically Hulk Hogan, Mr. Eat Your Vitamins, Say Your Prayers, and, like, you know, hug babies and kiss fat girls or whatever it is, like, I had to. Ha ha, I took it from you. But anyway, so that it doesn't correlate well. That's one of my biggest problems with a lot of WWE characters, is there's character inconsistencies that if you want to push the guy as one thing, he shouldn't be doing something else. But that aside, the long and short of John Cena is, I would love to have a beer with the man. He seems chill as shit. He seems cool. I respect his hustle. I respect the fact that he makes money. I respect what he does. But I don't want to see him on my television because it is abhorrent.
So the gist of what you're saying, and I'm boiling it down to the lowest common denominator here. He can't wrestle, and he's overrated on the mic. Am I correct in my assessment?
Let's go with that.
PC?
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Okay.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Edge, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Batista, CM Punk, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Damian Sandow, Sami Zayn,
80% Alberto of people Del Rio, you named have a high work rate, so they make everybody
John
good.
Cena, Kurt Hawkins, match of the year candidate with AJ Styles last year.
Everybody has a match of the year candidate with AJ Styles.
Rusev.
Even that Rusev, what, Battleground Rusev? That was
Shinsuke
a terrible
Nakamura
match.
Oh, please. I'm talking about their Mania match, man, in the Bay.
When he came out on the tank?
The flag match was a little awkward, yes.
That wasn't bad. I'm not saying he puts on the worst matches. I'm saying
it
that
takes
he's just
to table,
not entertaining
man.
To watch. And 80% of who you said are high work rate people. How many times has AJ Styles, Shawn Michaels, yes. Bret Hart, even though he didn't wrestle Bret Hart, I'm just throwing it out there, you know, Daniel Bryan, all these other people, how many times have they had a bad match?
Is he?
What was that?
Please, I can name some bad matches, man. Come on.
HBK, Daniel Bryan, and, you know,
I can name some bad matches, man, but that.
Name a bad AJ Styles match.
Bad AJ Styles match. The first one with Jinder Mahal. All the Kevin Owens AJ Styles matches were horrible.
No, they weren't. They were
Please,
not.
Are you kidding me?
The Battleground one was just one. Botched, but they were fine.
Please,
they added a gimmick,
man,
with the referee crap that took away from it, but the matches were laid out fine.
The referee crap added credibility to the match, man, or gave the match something to do, man. That made the match. They were boring before that,
you,
man.
This should match not were gender before boring. You do this podcast. That's all I'm saying.
The man, so says the man swinging the pocket pint of Honey Jack. Okay.
Not my fault. My liquor makes my lips quicker. That's how that one works. Like some people drink and get better. You drink and get a little dumb.
How long did you write that down? How long did it take for you to write that one down? Oh, liquor makes me quicker. Oh, I've got that. Oh, I'm going to break that up.
It took me until I got an erection because that's what's tattooed on my dick.
So about what, 6 weeks?
How'd you know?
I'll fight him.
Look, man, I mean, Cena is he a little clunky in the ring? Yes. Does he call his spots too loud? Yes. Does some of his moves not look authentic or look painful or whatever? Yes, but you can't deny that year after year, this man has put on great matches, man, with a variety of different opponents. You keep saying, well, which this one and that one, but he's done it all, and he's wrestled all of them. Plus, he was one half of the largest grossing drawn Mania in the history. You got to put that on his resume. He was on top longer than anybody else. His run lasted longer than Hogan's. His run lasted longer than Austin's and anybody else in the history of the majors, man. You got to put that on his resume as well. And the fact that he was the right guy to go to, because you weren't going to get what I like to call those 3 o'clock phone calls. So, you know, those 3 a.m. phone calls, because anytime you get a phone call at 3 a.m., it's some bad shit that's going down. You didn't have to worry about that with Cena. He was the right guy at the right time, man. He had the right temperament to be the guy. You know, there's a lot of guys that could have been the guy, but he had the right temperament to be the guy. He was the hardest worker. He was going to show up. He was going to show out. He was going to give it 110%. He set the pace. He set the pace in the locker room. And as far as burying people on the mic, if you can't keep up, man, you keep up, man. You out there with the man, man. So you sink or swim. Triple H did the exact same thing, man. He doesn't get buried nearly as much for Cena. But that's just, well, he did back in his day. But now
I was about to say, Triple H was weak on the mic back in the day.
No, but everybody loves him now because of NXT, man. But
true.
That used to be blown microphone, man. But now he's the NXT darling and everybody loves him, man. Same thing with Cena, man. You either get out there, you put up or you shut up, man. If you can't king up with the champ, if you can't hang with the champ, then you're not ready, man. You can't say that somebody can take his position and then say, well, he undercuts everybody on the microphone. Because if that was the case, if you were in line to take his position, man, well, then go take it. CM Punk held his own with him. Like, it could be done.
My only counter to your whole largest WrestleMania thing is he's been the guy on top as views keep dwindling. Granted, yes.
That's not all his fault, though.
I'm not saying it's all his fault, but people use that against Bret Hart for, like, the 93, 94 times when nobody was watching fucking wrestling.
Bret screwed Bret.
Yes, this is true. Bret screwed Bret. But everybody uses that against Diesel saying he wasn't a draw and Bret Hart saying he was the champ at a bad time or at a downtime. So they use that as a negative. Kind of like how people say Dan Marino's a good quarterback, but he never got a ring, so he's not great. Like, there's that whole you can spin the facts either way. And
I like the Dan Marino argument, man, because that kind of proves my point. How long was Dan Marino the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins?
How long was he playing football?
What was it like? What was it like? 83 to 99 until about 99. Yeah, longevity.
So.
You have to add longevity into it. Yeah. Bret Hart wasn't on top for 15 years, man. Diesel wasn't on top for 15 years. No disrespect to any of those guys, man. They're first ballot Hall of Famers, man. Two of my favorites of all time. No disrespect, but you have to add longevity into it. Yes, did WWE plummet? You can't put that all on him. You can't. He does take some culpability because he was the man. So that's got to be a stain on the resume. But nobody's done it longer than him.
And that could have been part of the problem is he did it too long and he just wore people out of his shtick.
Okay,
you know,
so
Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Stone Cold, Rock, Mick Foley. However, like CM Punk even, they didn't linger around so much that people got disenfranchised with the product, so they ventured away.
The only one that ventured away on his own fruition was Rock. Let's keep it a buck now. Everybody else would have still been wrestling.
Viewers, not wrestlers. Because if you talk to a lot of old wrestling fans, they just complain that it's not the same thing it used to be, or it's watered down, it's baby bullshit now, something like that. And Cena was a big proprietor of the PG era. And that also, in a sense, killed wrestling from the Ruthless Aggression era, because back when it was PG in 93, 94, when Bret Hart, Diesel, and all them had the belt, that's when it struggled. And it struggles now because of the PG thing. Did we lose you, Platt? Uh-oh.
I'm still here.
All right, did you hear what I said?
So I don't care, but let me ask you this, because you're basically just rehashing the same argument that smarks like yourself have been making for the last 15 years since Cena's been on top. So let me ask you this. If it was your money, if you were the multi-billion-dollar corporation known as the WWE, who would you have gotten behind?
Randy Orton.
Oh, Jesus. Really? All lives matter, Orton, huh?
Randy Orton works safe when he's actually motivated. He's one of the best workers they have, and I'm only saying one of because they have Shinsuke and AJ now.
Go. You can stop now because you've already undercut your entire argument. You said when he's motivated. You've already undercut your entire argument. So, he's out of here. Next.
If he was the guy, he would be more motivated. Don't try to say that's undercutting an argument.
For about 5 minutes, and then he would have got bored with being the main guy. He would have got bored with Make-A-Wish and all that shit. He'd be outside smoking cigarettes. Talking about, Jesus, I gotta go see another
shit in different people's handbags. That's all he'd be doing.
Oh, yeah, because that's real leader type. Yes, that's displaying leadership, shitting in people's bags. Yes. Cool. Every great leader shits in people's bags. Yes. I remember that time George Washington, right before the big battle at Saratoga, shat in Thomas Jefferson's wig. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, he shat in the canoe as they crossed the Delaware. That's how that one worked. I live in Jersey. I know this shit. We have a whole sign dedicated to where George Washington shit on some dude in the canoe. It was great.
And that's why you live in New Jersey, yes, the Cleveland of New York. And I know it's not New York, but same. Actually, Buffalo's the Cleveland of New York, so I beg your pardon.
Say, yeah, Buffalo's kind of the shithole right there.
Yeah, it's the Cleveland of New York. But you certainly live in the armpit of America, so congratulations for that.
I do, but it has access to so many nice places like Philly, which, okay, it's a big place. It's not a nice place. New York City, and then you got Maryland and stuff like that. It's all good shit. All right, so Mr. Voice in the Sky, looks like you might have something you want to say, so shoot it up.
It be.
The Chair Shot Bitches DM feed. Did you discuss WrestleMania 35 and the location?
Is that actually verified? Like, I've seen it from a bunch of, like, random nobodies on Twitter. But I didn't actually see WWE confirm it. Mr. Platt, have you seen it be super confirmed?
I haven't seen it be super confirmed, man. Just internet chatter and speculation.
Fine. So I guess all we've got is a rumor and baseless, you know, accusation to kind of go with. But either way, it looks like WWE's WrestleMania 35 is going to be in MetLife Stadium. In East Rutherford, New Jersey, in basically New York, but not quite, because Jersey likes to take everything from New York, just like you were kind of saying already about being not quite the Cleveland of New York. I guess we're like the Cincinnati of New York. We're a little more upper class.
No, you're not. That's even worse, man. What the hell's wrong with you? Don't play yourself like that. Hey, man, they mix spaghetti and chili in Cincinnati, man. You don't want any parts of that.
We have pork roll. It is a food dedicated to New Jersey. Our minor league baseball team, which is the farm team for the New York Yankees, the Trenton Thunder, every Friday this season is going to change their name to the Trenton Pork Roll in commemoration of their 25 years in being in Trenton, and because pork roll is all Jersey is known for.
And your governor looks like he smells like cold cuts. Like they just seep through his pores.
I confirmed this last week, sir. Thank you. So,
fair enough.
Tugboat is back. Yes. But
I guess, you know, I guess New York, New Jersey is better than Minnesota, which was another destination that I had heard speculation about, because it's probably going to be cold as spit in Minnesota in April. And, you know, New Jersey, New York, that's a cool happening spot. The thing that I'm worried about and the thing that I'm looking forward to this WrestleMania is that I think everything is going to be concentrated in one area. So it's not going to be that hard to maneuver and to get around, man. So I'm looking forward to that. Like, even we charted our hotel from Mania to the Superdome. We're like a 20, 30-minute walk away. It's like half a mile or something like that. So that's easily done. And everything that we need is going to be easily accessible. I don't know how that can happen in a city like New York, because I'm assuming what's going to happen is most of the festivities and activities are going to be happening in New York, and then the actual event is going to be in New Jersey. So that just seems like a cluster. And that traffic is already a cluster. So it seems like a cluster on top of a cluster mixed with a cluster.
Correct, and that's North Jersey, so driving around North Jersey sucks anyway. So you could probably there's a lot of hotels and places to stay around MetLife Stadium, so if you get a place, it won't be that hard to get to the stadium, so you'll be good there. It's just if you actually would want to get look around and go to Jersey City, which I don't suggest anybody do. Hoboken's nice, but don't go to Jersey City, or go into New York City, or Edison, or, you know, some of the nicer places that have, you know, bigger attractions. Sure, that's fine, but North Jersey drivers suck. It's terrible. And remember, in Jersey, you have to turn right to turn left, so there's that.
Oh, Jesus. But, you know, but it's weird, because last year in Orlando, things were kind of spread out, but everything was kind of in the same vicinity too. So it was it was easy to kind of chart your itinerary. So it was like, okay, I'm gonna hit this Dallas. Most of the stuff in Dallas was all in the same vicinity. It was all in that downtown area until the day of the actual event. So you had to drive out to get to the actual event. I think we caught an Uber. It took us about 45 minutes to get there, and then getting back was just murder. But everything was, all the festivities and whatnot were concentrated in that one area. The San Francisco area, it really wasn't San Francisco. It was Santa Clara, which is about a 40-minute drive from San Francisco.
Oh, that's so nice,
yeah, it was nice. But it was cool because I got to do the girlfriend thing. So we flew in a day early. We flew in on Friday, and we did the whole San Francisco touristy thing. And then Saturday we got up and we drove the rental car out to the Santa Clara area. But it was the same thing, man. Everything was in the vicinity. Ubers were plentiful. Even the stadium was right there. So it was easy access to everything that you could have possibly wanted to do. Allegedly, if this is going to happen in the New York, Jersey area, man, you probably need to chart your itinerary before you even get there, man. Like, plan out, okay, these are the events we want to hit, this is what we're going to do, and do it like that, which kind of takes away from the fun and the spontaneity of the whole thing. Plus, it's probably cold.
It doesn't, because you still have a shitload of Ubers. You still have 9,000 ways to skin the cat, because you got the New Jersey transit system, which is trains. You got the pass system, which goes directly from North Jersey to New York City. You've got Ubers, you've got everything. The problem is just New York traffic. So if they have something at the Garden, or if they have something at, they obviously wouldn't have it at Barclays because it's too far away, but if they have anything in New York City, that's just going to take extra time to get to. If you Google Maps it and it says 10 minutes, give yourself 20, because traffic in New York City, I don't drive in New York City. I've been in New York City countless times. I refuse to drive in that city because it sucks. People will cut you off left and right. You have to have the patience of a saint just to drive down a street from one light to the next.
Nah, I can't argue with any of that, man. So we'll see what happens. It's also going to be cold out there in that stadium. I mean, hell, it got cold last year when the sun went down in Orlando. So I can just imagine MetLife Stadium, man. Because you guys don't have a dome on that. Shit.
And it was cold. April in Jersey ain't that bad normally.
April last year in Orlando was cold, man, when the sun went down. So there's that.
What do you think is cold? Is 50 degrees cold to you?
No, 50 degrees isn't cold, man. But sitting on a cold park bench is pretty cold.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, regardless, I'm still probably going to go because it's like an hour away from me, so that'd be the first time I get to go to Mania, and I have no excuse not to go.
That's fair. Now, I will say that if you're a wrestling fan, if you listen to this podcast, even if you're not a wrestling fan, man, you have to make at least one Mania in your lifetime, man. It's an experience like none other. And the coolest part about going to the Manias, man, is that everybody's there for the same reason. We're all there to watch fake fighting. So there's no pretense. There's none of that. You know what I mean? There's nobody looking down on you like wrestling. No, you are as free to mark out and be the biggest mark you possibly can. And it's all good, man. And you're just sitting there chilling, having a beer with the fellas. And you just look behind you. Oh, that's Road Warrior Animal. You know what I mean? That's cool, too. Just a random wrestler appearances here and there, man. And it's just really a fun vibe and a good time, man. So I suggest anybody go out your way, man, and make it to a Mania.
I like ending it there. That was a pretty good point.
Fair enough. All right. So why don't you let the good people know where they can find you?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at IWC Warchief, and any complaints, fan mail, regular disdain for what we talk about or how we talk about it, you can hit me up at andrewbelez@thechairshot.com.
@thechairshot.com. Jesus. Can you be any cornier?
I could.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that as soon as I said it. I said he probably could.
Hey, you fell unconscious when we had to hit that always use your head spot, so don't even work, because I had to cover on you for that one, so shut up.
Oh, you get one win. Everybody gets one, Andrew. Everybody gets one.
I mean, you said that at least twice today, so it doesn't make it two. That makes two more than your Cleveland Browns had this year.
Ooh. Hey, they sit at home with your Jets. And if joke's on you, I didn't even watch football, you son of a bitch. You guys can find me.
I don't like the Jets.
Oh, you're a who? You're a who?
Buccaneers, Tampa Bay, baby.
Yeah, they're at the crib, too. You can find me on Twitter at C Platt on Twitter. You can find all of us on Chair Shot Radio Network and at The Chair Shot, the thechairshot.com. Always use your head. For Andrew Snowflake Balls, for PC Tunney, the commish, my name is Christopher Platt. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Pod is War. Shalom.